You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Thank you, Renee. You unpacked a whole lot for us right there, I'll tell you. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Blessed Nativity. Wow. I know Christmas is here when our kids sing. That's really, I think for me, that's when I really get in the mood, and I so appreciate that. I do need to apologize to maybe a few parents right now up front. I was the guy taking care of some of the jackets and sweaters, so if they didn't get back to the right people, sorry about that, okay? I mean, some of the kids were just grabbing them and saying, here, I'll take that for so-and-so, and I'm hoping that they're getting to the right place. And I have one other apology I really need to make. I'm going to confess. Annette is on Facebook, and I encouraged her to advertise our Israel trip on her Facebook. She said, go on and look. And I said, well, I'm not on Facebook, and there's a reason I'm not on Facebook. And I did, but I had to go on Facebook to do that, so I signed up for Facebook. I said, I still don't have your picture. She said, you have to friend me. I said, okay, then you're already my friend, but I'll friend you. And so I friended her, and I got all the pictures. And what I apologize about is for those that actually wanted me to be their friend, I went to my kids and I said, hey, I went on Facebook, and their response was, why did you do that? You know you're not a good Facebook guy. Why would you do that? And I'm thinking this is just my family, you know, telling me this. So I'm at Monday Night Football with a few young guys in the church, and I said, hey, guys, I went on Facebook. And they said, why did you do that? You don't have what it takes to be a Facebook guy. Why in the world are you doing something like that? And you know what? They're right. I'll tell you what. I got on Facebook, and I went on. How many go down rabbit trails? That was horrible. And I looked up, and an hour and a half had gone by, and I thought, okay, this is not good for me. This will not turn out good for me. But I want to apologize to all those who signed up to be my friend. I am your friend. I really am. I am your friend, just not on Facebook. I have to get off that, because my family tells me I should get off that, so I'm going to do that. But I want all of you to know that you're deeply loved, this Christmas season especially. I pray that your family and all of your friends and all of the gatherings that you have, you experience really and truly the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's why we're here today. So here's a question. Do you remember when and where your most unforgettable lessons in life were learned? I want you to just take a moment. Where were those lessons learned? You might have to go back a little bit in the archives of your mind, but where were those learned? I know for me, it wasn't when all was well. It wasn't when everything was going the way that I wanted to go. In fact, it was during times of turbulence, during times of personal pain. It's in those times that I learned my greatest lessons. It wasn't in the calm of life. I don't think that's where we learn our greatest lessons. And so today, what I want you to do, I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The challenges of life are really what forge out the lessons of life for us. And I know that's true about my life and what I face. We probably live in one of the most risk-adverse generations ever. But when we read the Gospels, when we read the life of Christ, it's all about those risks that we take that challenge us to grow in our relationship with God. And so we look at this and we see this young person named Mary, this young woman who has great courage. And that's what we want to talk about today. All I want for Christmas is courage. That's really what I want. I want to have the same courage that I see in this teenage girl named Mary. And Mary teaches us that you need courage to follow God. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, something you need to know, Nazareth wasn't something or a town where someone would say a lot would come from there. In fact, they have to qualify it in this passage of Scripture. Luke, the author, says it's in Nazareth. It's a town in Galilee. That's what he's saying. So if you don't know where it's at, it's in Galilee. That's where it's at. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be and will have great name. His name will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Here's what we're going to do this morning. You can pull out your bulletin on the back. What I want you to do is I want you to look at five signs of courage. Five signs of courage that are like doors. They're like gateways that you walk into that will open your life to the will of God. So here's number one. Number one is this: courage accepts supernatural surprises. That's what happens in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, speaking of the angel Gabriel, and wondering what kind of greeting this might be. How many have said, "I would like to see an angel"? I mean, I've been in a jam, and I'd really like some clarity, and I'd like to hear from an angel. I'd like to hear from God himself. I think there are times in life that we face moments like that. I don't know if I'd sign up that quick, because sometimes those angels aren't bringing the best of news. Sometimes those angels are bringing some hard stuff to hear. But we have Gabriel showing up. Imagine being able to encounter an angel. The angel Gabriel comes to Palestine. What does he do? He passes over Herod's house. He passes over Herod's palace. He passes over the religious elite. He goes by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes. And where does he land? He lands in this little tiny village named Nazareth. And who does he speak to? He speaks to this little girl, this teenage girl called Mary, an insignificant character during that time in those days. And the angel Gabriel tells her that she is favored of God. What news? I mean, I'm thinking she probably wasn't thinking that about herself, given what we know about Mary, her humility, her down-to-earth kind of approach to life. And then the angel of the Lord says, "You are highly favored of the Lord." I'm wondering if there was anyone else around that she might have been looking over her shoulder thinking, "Is God really speaking to me? I mean, is the angel of the Lord really saying this to me?" The supernatural can occasionally meet us in the dramatic. That's the first thing I think of when I read this story. There are times and occasions in our life where God brings the drama to us. Now, in my life, I think it's probably only happened maybe 3 or 4 times. It's not normally the way that God operates, but maybe you need to remember or think during this Christmas season about those moments in your life where God showed up just like an angel. I mean, it might as well have been an angel, and he gives you this great miracle, this great blessing. Because I know I need to remember that. My memory is short. And oftentimes I just go about my business thinking, sometimes, is God really around? Is he really listening? And then I think back on my history with God and recognize that there were some dramatic moments that God came and he spoke to me. Sometimes God does full drama on us. But normally, the supernatural meets us in the daily. There are supernatural things that are happening in our life every day. The problem is I don't always see those supernatural activities. I know how I can become more sensitive to that. And the way that I do that is really dive into God's Word and just feed on the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to make the Word of God alive in my life so that my eyes, my spiritual eyes, are sensitive to see the miracles that God brings my way. The miracles that happen every single day of our lives. I've had people say to me, and I've said it myself, "I'm really not seeing the miracles." And it's like the Holy Spirit comes along and says, "Then open your eyes. Wake up. see what I'm doing in your life. And it happens when we feed on the Word of God. God's Word made alive by the Holy Spirit connects you with the supernatural every single day. So here's something else. The supernatural always, always meets us in a decision. You know, when you say yes to God, when you step out and say, God, I'm going to have the courage to follow you, the faith to follow you, when those decisions are made, you're going to see God work in supernatural ways, opening doors for you that wouldn't otherwise be open. God loves it when you take a risk on Him, when you take a, as it were, a chance on Him and say, I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. That's when we see the supernatural. This is a guarantee. When you make decisions that honor Jesus, when you call on Him, when you ask Him for help. You know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. I love that. It qualifies all of us. For all of us who call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Now, we think this is maybe inviting Jesus into our life, and certainly that has a lot to do with it. You know, we call on the name of the Lord, and He will give us salvation, the salvation that we need. But I think this has a lot to do with just the salvation we need every single day. Call on the name of the Lord. Today, during this Christmas season, call on the name of the Lord. And the promise is you will be saved. I think the best thing about Christmas isn't that an angel came to the earth, but God came to earth. Emmanuel, that's what we celebrate. That God became flesh. And so the supernatural is that Jesus Christ now lives in my heart. That I have the presence of the Holy Spirit every single day. And that He promises that He will never leave me. That He'll never forsake me. That's a promise that I can stand on. That's a promise that I can count on. I don't know if you're going through a time in your life where you might feel a little uncertain about your future, a little uncertain about relationships, feel a bit vulnerable, exposed kind of to the elements of the world. The one thing that you can be sure of during this Christmas season, the one thing that's heralded loudly is that He will be with us. Emmanuel, God is with you. He's with you right now, even during this time of vulnerability, even during this time where you might not sense His presence like you did in the past. God is with you. This is one thing I know. I cannot change myself. In fact, when I try to change myself, you know what I recognize? I recognize how much of a mess I really am. What do I need? I need the salvation of the Lord. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the promise that God gives us. Jesus in me is not only about removal of sin in my life, but Jesus in me is the power that I need in my life, the power of God's Holy Spirit. Second thing here, courage often disrupts our plans. How many know that? Courage often disrupts your plans. When you decide to take a courageous stand, maybe in an area that isn't so popular, it really, really can disrupt your plans. In verse 27, it says, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Speaking of Mary, a descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Listen, Joseph was of royal stock. Now, I don't know how long they had been pledged to each other. It might have even been during their childhood, because that's kind of the way Jewish society works. So here it is. Mary's mom and dad are so excited because they have Joseph of royal stock. This is the big deal. He's marrying into royalhood, the royalhood of David. They're excited about these kinds of plans. Mary and Joseph had plans. They were planning their marriage. They were planning the music. They were planning what everyone was going to dress like. They were planning where they were going to do it, how they were going to do it. And then Gabriel turns up and turns everything upside down, puts all the plans on ice. This angel shows up and says, whoa, 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 whoa. There are other plans. God has some other plans for you. Have you ever experienced that? I mean, that you thought you were going down one road and all of a sudden God shows up and you're not going down that road anymore. That He's redirecting you. That's what happens. And courage, it takes courage to know that God has the freedom to change our plans. What does this teach us about Christmas? What does it say here? It says Christmas tells us that Jesus is not just a little babe. It says here to me that Jesus is our Lord. And when he comes into our lives, he comes to be everything. When he comes into your life, he comes to be everything. He comes to be the Lord of Lords. He's not an addition to something you already have. And that's oftentimes the way we'll look at our relationship with Jesus. And it's easy to do it at Christmas time because there's so many other things going on. We're pretty busy. But the one thing we have to recognize here is that Jesus is our everything. He is just not settling to be part, an addition to something you already have, something you want. We just add him to our list of friends. Oh, I referred to that earlier, didn't I? Yeah. He's everything. He is absolutely everything. When he comes, he deals with our past and he deals with our future. When he comes, he gets our catastrophes and he gets our calendar. He gets our past mistakes and he gets our future plans. That is who he is in our life. That is the place that he holds in our life. He is supreme. He is superior. He is all powerful. He is everything. And that when you read the Christmas story, remember that he's not only a babe, he's not just God who's come in the flesh, but he's God who's come in the flesh, who is everything, who is the Lord of our life. Here's how Jesus put it when he taught us the Lord's Prayer. He basically said this. He said, it's not our will be done in heaven, but it's his will to be done here on earth. It's God's will to be done in our life. You know, my prayer life can be spent telling God what my plans for him are. Have you noticed that? God, here are my plans for you, and I'd really like it if you could get this done by next week. And here's the calendar I have for you. Here's the process I'd like you to go through, because if you do this, I'm going to be a lot happier. The problem is God doesn't work on my calendar. He doesn't work on your calendar. He works on his calendar. And he'll come in. And when he knows that he needs to disrupt your plans, he'll do it in a flash. Because what he's working for is his will to be worked out in your life. Here's something else. Number three, courage can ruin reputations. Really does. Courage can do that. For a season, it can ruin reputations. Mary said, I'm a virgin. You know, oftentimes when we read that, we're not quite sure of the full meaning of what she's saying, because it's even deeper than just physically being pure. But she was culturally and religiously pure. That she, from the time she was born, she set her life aside to follow and be obedient to God. So it wasn't just physical purity. It was cultural purity. It was religious purity. It was everything about her. And here what happens is she hears the word of the Lord. And I think you need to especially note this, because this isn't a small town. This isn't a conservative town. And can you imagine the word and how fast it got out to those 50 or 60 or 70 people? Kind of like living in Canby, you know. But the word spread. And her reputation is at risk here. Now, I don't know of the conversation altogether. We know a little bit about what she said and what Gabriel said to her. But I'm thinking, you know, if I'm Mary and it's during that moment and she says, the angel says, you're going to be with child, and my response would be, how could that be? Then I would probably say, could you do me a favor, Gabriel? I mean, really would appreciate this. I'm just a teenage girl. And I'd like you to come with me and tell my mom and dad. I mean, if you could come and do me this big favor, I mean, this would be huge. Come and tell my mom and dad about this. And what does the angel do? He just gets up and walks out. He leaves. She's stuck there. And I'm sure there was fear involved, wondering, what is this going to look like in the town I live in? What is this going to look like in the eyes of my mother and father? It was her reputation that was put on the line. But what did she do? She trusted her reputation with God. And you know, all of us will be challenged at one point or another. If we call ourselves Christ followers, we will be challenged with putting our reputation on the line. That might be happening to you right now. It might be taking place at work. It might be taking place at school. The moment you say that you're a follower of Jesus, that you're a Christian, you can't hide it anymore. Wow, some of the taunts come, don't they? Oh, wow, are you really a Christian, a holy roller? Do you really go to church? Do you do all these things that I hear other Christians do? Kind of weird stuff. And for you to step up at that moment and say, yes, I'm a Christ follower, what are you doing? You're kind of putting your reputation on the line right there. Because oftentimes people today will risk doing business with other people. There's a lot of things that can be at risk. But here Mary steps up and she says, God is who I trust my reputation with. And there'll be times where that will happen with you, where you're going to trust God or need to trust God with your reputation. There's a point in each of our lives where we must give God our reputation. You see, Jesus will never ask you to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. How do we know this? If you look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says this, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, of no reputation in some translations, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now, some of us may have it hard, even today, stepping up and saying, you know, we're a believer, we're a Christ follower, we're a Christian. But I would imagine it's nothing like people around the world, especially in some developing nations where other religions are persecuting Christians today. I mean, I'm reminded of a trip that I took to Sri Lanka, where at the time there was a civil war taking place between the Tamil Tigers and the Sinhalese government, and mainly it was Hindu. And the Christians were caught in the middle, but there was some heroic believers. There still are some heroic believers that live on that former island named Ceylon. Amazing. I happened to be there for one of the conferences that they had, and I had this opportunity, this incredible privilege to sit down with an evangelist on that island. I mean, he really stood on the corners and preached Jesus Christ in the middle of gunfire. I thought, now I got to talk to this guy. I got to see this guy, because this is guy's like the Rambo of heaven right here. I want to meet him. So we had a meal together. We sat down. We talked. He shared his story with me. I had so many questions. And what I soon found out is the horrible persecution that he had gone through. And not only had he gone through, but he had lost 2 sons for their faith in Jesus Christ, martyred. And he said that with tears in his eyes. He wasn't hard-hearted. He loved those boys. You know, I looked at my own life. Thought how many times it's just hard for me to get the word Christian out, or that I'm a Christ follower. This Christmas season, we have these opportunities to say, Lord, I'm going to risk my reputation. I'm just going to tell people I love Jesus. I'm going to tell them that I follow Jesus. Here's what Mary teaches us. When we find courage in Jesus, you will find yourself. When you find courage in Jesus, you will truly find yourself. You will find your purpose in life. Here it is, number 4. Courage will raise big questions. Again, you got to go back to verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Now, Mary had obviously understood sex ed 101. I mean, she understood biology, and she understood what it took to have a baby. Her cousin, Elizabeth, was pregnant. It took a woman and it took a man, and she had not been with a man. Do I need to clarify anymore? Everybody clear? Okay, we're all clear. At this point, I don't think Mary, when she was asking the question, was doubting. You know, I've read this a few times. I don't really think she was doubting. I think she's being like my wife here. I think she wanted more detail. Have you ever, you know, I mean, I know I'm this way. It's the overview. Just give me the bullet points and I'm good. And I don't mean to generalize, but guys, I think most of you might be like that. You know, I mean, Annette said the other day, she said, Ron, go find the peaches. They're in the cupboard. They're in the pantry. Folks, I went, I hate to even say this. I went and I stood and I stared in that pantry for probably a good 10 minutes. And I'm looking, I see no peaches. I see crackers, I see pancake mix, I see some trail mix. I'm looking around, I'm not finding any peaches. But I'm not going to tell her I can't find them. So I'm staying in there and I'm looking. I said, those peaches got to be in here somewhere because she told me they were in here and she knows what's in here. I can't find the peaches. About 10 minutes went by and I hear this from the kitchen. Have you found the peaches yet? No, found the stinking peaches. I don't even want peaches now, you know. Things are hiding from me. You know, she walks in the pantry. She goes, they're right there. I go, oh, man, they don't look like peaches from here. You know, they look like something else. I mean, the detail just kind of goes. And I think Mary, what she's doing here is, okay, Gabriel, you have said this about me. So I'm not doubting God altogether. But can you tell me? Can you give me some more detail here? Please give me a little detail. Because really, if you look at God's history and how he speaks to men and women in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, he's not one that gives a lot of detail. I mean, it's usually he comes along and he says, here's what I want you to do. And you go, whoa, 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 like Moses. Well, what does this mean? And God says, ah, don't worry about that stuff. You know what? Don't worry about it. I'll be with you. That's his standard response. His standard response is, don't worry about that stuff. I'll be with you. Don't be afraid. I'll be with you. And I think about Mary here, and she's hearing this, and God's saying, hey, don't worry. Mary's going, but how? How is this going to happen? Hebrews 11:8 says this, and she remembers this, I'm sure. Mary knows this story. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Wow. Sometimes courage will raise big questions. Especially about the how. How is this going to happen? What's this going to look like? How am I going to get here? What are the details? How many people are ready to go? I mean, really, in your own heart, are you postured there spiritually for God to come along and just say, hey, are you going to take this step of faith? And when I mean ready to go, I mean the next step of faith. It might not be a physical move. It might be. But it's a step of faith. Am I ready? Or I am so entrenched in the way that I do things, in the way that I want things, that I can't move. My feet are glued to the ground that I stand on. And God here shows us Christmas time is a time that we need to have mobility. We need to be flexible. We need to say, God, we follow you. We want to be obedient to your word. I'm ready. I'm ready. I just don't know. I'm like Abraham. I'm like Mary. I just don't know the details. But God, I know you'll take care of them. I want guarantees. Maybe you think the same thing. Well, God, if I go, we start to etch out the deal. You know, here, God, here's the contract we signed. God says, you signed it. I didn't sign that. I promise I'll be with you. I'm not going to give you all the details. I'm not going to share all that with you. Because why? This is about walking in faith, and that takes courage. Mary teaches us that it's okay to question because it's better to question than to ignore God. I think sometimes we get to these places and we're not sure and we just say, but I just, blah, 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 blah. I didn't hear it. I don't want to hear it. God, can you take a break in my life or give me a break? Mary doesn't ignore God. She asked a few questions. She's obedient. And here's the last thing. Courage embraces his will and his way. Courage embraces his will and his way. When you look in verse 19 of chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke, we'll cover it a little more as we progress in this passage. Mary treasured, it says, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. This is after Jesus was born. This is after he has been brought into the world. Now, I know what it was like to be in the delivery room with my kids and my wife. And it's not then that she wants visitors. And it's not then that, you know, then the shepherds come in from the fields and then the wise men show up. And I don't know what she's thinking. She's, wow, what are you guys doing here? You know, this, I don't really look that good. I just had a baby. Maybe we could do this a little later. But they all show up, have all these guests come in. And the Bible says, what does Mary do? She ponders all these things in her heart. She treasured these things. These were moments that she held dear to her, and she would need those moments down the road. I love getting emails from Pastor Jeremy, Dr. Wallace, because he always has this little comment. He's got it scribed into his email. Don't doubt in the dark what God has said in the light. That's a good word for us today. What has God spoken to you in the light? Mary was told when she was a young girl that she was going to bear Emmanuel. She was going to bear God in the flesh. And there's going to be some tough times ahead. There's going to be some dark times ahead. And hear what she heard in the dark was so clear, or what she heard in the light was so clear, it was so obvious. But there were moments that she gets into these dark places. Mary was a refugee into Egypt. Why? Because the king of Palestine was trying to kill her son and every other son that was 2 years and younger. I mean, this is a dark time. And so they flee to Egypt. They stay there for a while. They're refugees in a country they're unfamiliar with. And then Mary watches her son crucified 33 years later. And I'm thinking, is she thinking this is all going to turn out okay? Because this is a dark moment that she's standing at the foot of the cross and she sees her son being crucified. I wonder what's going on in her heart. She was so close to him, so dear to him, and she's in the dark at this moment. And here's what I know happens sometimes in my life, and it may happen in your life. When we think we do everything right, that when we follow God's will to the T, it's going to turn out the way that we want it to turn out. And sometimes it doesn't turn out the way that we want it to turn out. And those are the times we think, God, are you with us? God, have you left us? I don't know what was happening with Mary when she was looking at her son suspended between heaven and earth. But I wonder if she was thinking, are you with me? Are you here? I know you said this to me when I was a teenage girl. I know I heard that in the light, but it's dark right now. It's dark. And I'm thinking she had certain ways she wanted it to turn out. I'm thinking that she didn't think it was going to get to this place. See, I know this, and I picked this up a couple days ago. I was reading my Advent devotions. And I want to read it to you because this is what I confess. This is what I'm guilty of. I'm so guilty of this. Often we hear God's call to embrace our weaknesses or move in sacrificial love. And we imagine that ultimately this will result in our heroism because we've done the right things. This will result in making us look good, better than we are. Overcoming all odds and becoming powerful. In other words, we imagine that Jesus has just given us a more surprising and challenging way to achieve power and success. I think this is more probably prevalent in Western Christianity, that we think, well, if we follow these steps and we're obedient, we do everything right, that it's going to be okay. That we'll not be in the dark, but we find out different. We still believe that we will get what others want, but the difference is that we will go about it in the right way. This is simply not what Jesus tells us. Embracing the way from above is often a hard and lonely road, but it is the true path of life. I need to hear that. I need to hear that because I have expectations for God. And that if I do what He tells me to do, if I'm honest with what He speaks to me, then it needs to turn out good. And sometimes it doesn't turn out good, at least how I define good. I have to learn this lesson. I need to know that there are people all through Scripture, and Mary being one of them, when she was standing there looking at her son, thinking, wow, I've done your will. Is this your way? Is this your way? But what we know is this: God triumphs. God overcomes. We don't know about the resurrection that is going to come. We don't know when it's going to come. We don't know the details of its coming, but it will come. It will come. Don't doubt in the dark what God has said to you in the light. Be courageous in Jesus. Would you bow your head with me? I just want to do that. I want to just send out an invitation to anyone here today that has not come to that place of making Jesus everything. It's a big step. It's a big step. I've taken that step, and it's radically changed my life. And I want to invite you to know Jesus Christ today, just really as your Lord, as your Savior, as your everything. And maybe you've been one to try to fix everything on your own, and you found out as you've done that what a mess you really might be, because that's what I found out. It's only through the salvation of Jesus Christ that we find true wholeness and joy and courage. All those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you're here today with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, you want to call on the name of the Lord for salvation in your life, would you lift your hand right where you are, just wherever you are, just say, yep, that is me. I need the salvation of Jesus. Good. Good. Just leave your hand up just for a moment, because we're going to get something to you. Someone's going to come to you and give you a little, it's kind of actually a starter kit. They might ask you your name. We just want to know how to pray for you by name. We really do, because you mean a lot to us, but even more to God. He knows your name today. For those that are lifting their hands right now, I'm going to ask that we just pray this very simple prayer, and we're going to do it all together. We don't want those that lifted their hands to do anything alone. It's a personal decision, but we do this together as community. The walking out of our faith is done in community. We want to do this together. And so those that lifted your hands along with the rest of us, would you just repeat these words after me? Jesus, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are my everything, that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. And I receive the promise for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That salvation is mine today. In the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you applaud this?
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.